We're on. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you're listening to this, or watching it now that we're on the YouTubes, and there's something else that we put the video on, I don't know what. Spotify. The video is also on Spotify. I am joined today by Jordan Calevra, who for a long time I thought was called Calevra. I thought that was his first name. Who is a coach, bodybuilder, spazzy white belt jiu-jitsu guy, and Tism. From the South Coast, and he's come to speak to us today a little bit about his experiences in the fitness industry, his experiences with supplements, particularly as a neurodiverse person, and a little bit about the services that he offers to the neurodiverse community. Do you just coach spazzes now?
Not exclusively. No.
No.
Mostly.
I'm allowed to say that. I am one of you. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and how his approach, because his approach is quite different from what you might find with a traditional kind of fitness industry coach. So firstly, we're on the Stromcast. How the fuck did you end up here?
I don't actually know. I think using the products and then being friends with Will Carver.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
I say friends, we didn't start off as friends.
Good, okay.
But
yeah, I mean, Will is, I love Will to bits, but he is, he's very Marmite, right?
Yeah, we didn't start off as friends. There was an altercation involving Will's penis, which led us to be friends. Yeah. Me and my ex split up because Will.
Well, yeah, he likes to do that.
In reality, he did me the biggest favour anyone possibly could have.
Yeah.
However,
because now
I'm not with
Eddie, they're not a hooker.
Piece of shit. Yeah.
To be fair, to be clear, I didn't just call his partner a hooker. He called her a hooker earlier.
I did not call her a hooker.
Also, just she sounds like a hooker.
Can we edit that?
Nope.
Does Eddie not know?
Well, that was the first time I've called her. The first time I've used that likening because of the accent.
Wonderful. Okay, yeah. We'll edit that out and use it later. Okay, so you met through Will. Because the reason I say is a lot of people think that there's like some secret to getting into the clique. I saw a thing the other day. Someone said, oh, well, there's that inner circle of Strom and they all just wank each other off. Obviously, we do. Mm-hmm. However, it's not like it's a secret inner circle where we select people. It's just people that we get on with.
Yeah.
People that we get on with. Normally, we're quite a diverse bunch of people. People that have got different skill sets. People that are interesting.
Some but of crucially, real jobs.
Yeah. I have a real job. I'm at work. This is my job. And yeah, as a business, right, to kind of start that conversation towards maybe one day being a Strom athlete, being part of that inner circle, if there was one, you probably need to buy our shit. It's a basic requirement. Not because we only speak to people that buy our shit, but that's kind of how those interactions tend to start. But yeah, you just touched on it. Jordan also has a real job, and it's far more interesting than any of the fitness industry stuff.
I mean, on paper, it is doing the job is far less interesting than coaching.
Okay,
So I work in nuclear construction.
Is that like normal construction, but with a suit? Like
big green spicy rocks, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not quite that. But now I work for, in defence.
Here's a question for you, right? Because I watch a lot of Instagram reels. There's a reel going around at the moment of a nuclear reactor starting and the Cherenkov effect being shown. And everything glows and there's like a noise and all the comments are people going, oh, it doesn't make a noise. True or no true?
I mean,
it makes like a humming.
Yeah, they do. Noise. Yeah, there is a hum.
So the Nigels were wrong.
I don't know how far the hum would travel. I know there's a lot around power station reactors saying that there's this ghostly hum that goes on for, which you're on about now, where it goes on for miles and miles and miles. When I've worked in around smaller reactors, it's not like i.e. submarines, etc.
Yeah.
There isn't like some ominous hum that you can hear bubbling from the depths of the sea.
Right.
So.
But it does make a pretty colour.
Well, I mean, you don't sit behind a glass. It's not The Simpsons.
Don't look at it.
No. You don't pick it up with tongs and accidentally throw it down your
I've seen every episode of Chernobyl by HBO, so I know quite a lot about this subject.
So you're an expert then?
Yes.
Subject matter expert.
Yeah. I also watched documentary about the HBO miniseries and they said it was pretty accurate.
Right, it must be.
So, yeah. Okay, so Jordan, actual job, nuclear engineer or nuclear construction. So are you involved in reactor parts or stuff around reactor parts?
Stuff around now. So I essentially work around ancillary systems and support systems for like nuclear stuff.
It certainly sounds interesting and complex. So why the change? Why? I mean, it's not a change. You still do both, right?
Yeah.
But if you've got a real job, why have you started coaching, particularly this kind of people that you're working with?
I think I started coaching like before I actually had a real job, when I was leaving the military. Just fell into coaching by coaching friends who I was interested in doing research and bettering training and nutrition. Started coaching some friends, realised I quite liked it, and then kept it up alongside a series of engineering jobs.
And when you say coaching, are we talking about nutrition stuff or mindset stuff or exercise programming? What is it that you do?
I started off with like just the generic exercise programs, nutrition, and that was it. And then that's evolved, I guess, the last sort of five-ish years into now, where I still cover the bulk of what I do is lifestyle coaching. So training plans, nutritional guidance and stuff for people who just want to get fitter, or a couple of bodybuilding clients, but more so now lifestyle clients and obviously athletes now in combat sports, mostly BJJ. But
you're coaching guys in BJJ. So you are like the meme of a white belt.
Yep.
Coaching.
I don't coach BJJ them guys. In BJJ. I coach them for BJJ because I'm not.
Yeah. No. I know. I know that.
Terrifically underqualified.
There's BJJ nutrition. I don't know if you've seen him. He's going to come up and see us at some point. He is a blue belt, coaching black belts. Yep. Mike Lang, blue belt, coaching black belt. Like, this is just a thing, right? I guess because to be a black belt, you have to not do anything else. It seems to be your thing. Like, if you're a black belt, that's all you're allowed to do. I'm sure that's not always the case. Like, there are definitely black belts that do other things. But yeah, it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, and it's like, one of my clients on Sunday competed, who is my coach.
Yeah.
I coach him through the nutrition stuff.
Sure. Yeah, and in fairness, there's Ben from A-Plan Performance. Ben? Sam. Sam from A-Plan Performance over at Black Country. He's blue belt, but he does strength and conditioning for quite a lot of good competitors.
Yeah. And it's like, I've worked with rugby athletes before, and I was always pretty shit at rugby. Well, very mediocre. I don't think you need to be specifically good at that sport to be able to coach someone through it.
Yeah.
To assist with it. But the majority of what I do now is sort of mindset stuff. And I think the evolution of that has led me to coach neuro spicy people predominantly.
Okay. So I suppose the key, because we've had loads of coaches on the podcast. The key question here is what is different about coaching neuro spicy people? Is it different? Does it need to be different? Why does it need to be different?
I think the biggest thing is it's not one size fits all. In coaching itself, like fitness coaching, you can pretty much like, this is the answer. How well you stick to it dictates how well the results are. Whereas what I've learned mostly from coaching people with neurodiversity, like wherever they sit in that neuro spicy realm, is the sense of it's not one size fits all. There's so many sort of like tiny little adjustments or coping factors or strategies that need to be essentially changed for how well they can stick to your planning, which then dictates their success. So within that, I think taking an engineering mindset towards coaching, and essentially finding the end goal and then reverse engineering how we're going to get there around all of the sort of roadblocks and speed bumps along the way.
As is looking pensive. No. I drew attention to it for no reason. I think he likes to just wander around the room, making it look like he's doing important things. Yeah. Getting his steps in. Okay, so the podcast has a point. We need to think of like a catchy hook of something we're going to cover deep in the podcast so people listen to get to that hook. So, I'm open to suggestions, Azza. What are we gonna zone in on? We talked about supplements, your approach to supplements for specifically ADHD and TISM on a live the other day. Is that something you want to cover? Yeah.
Yeah. We've got loads. Obviously, I've still got footage of talking to Tom about that as well, that I need to do something with.
Who's Tom?
Thomas.
Oh, Thomas.
when he came down and Tom, did a podcast with us that I've done nothing with yet.
I didn't know he even did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Thomas, for those who... I think everyone who listens to our podcast will know, but Thomas runs Strom Down Under, based in New Zealand. A lot of time for Thomas. Very smart guy.
A wizard.
Definitely a spectrum.
Oh, 100%.
Definitely a spectrum. Definitely. The Amish spectrum. Season. Yeah, yeah. Uses all natural deodorant. It's the only criticism I got. Don't use all natural deodorant. Just life advice for anyone.
Okay.
Get something made of chemicals. It'd be better for you.
Cool.
He's in New Zealand. What's he going to do? Yeah. Suddenly stop selling all Strong products. We just don't like him anymore. Anyway, we've had 49 plays in the last 7 days, which is interesting because we've not posted anything for ages. Oh, mind you, that's just on SoundCloud, isn't it? Is that SoundCloud? Sorry, it's just, it's interesting. The podcast does a lot better than I thought it would. I know at one point we were getting like 10, 20,000 listens on, but it's on so many platforms now, it's hard to kind of amalgamate those. Well, it's not hard. You just have to add four numbers together. So it's beyond my level of skill.
Yeah.
Or patience. But yeah, so people are listening. Anyway, supplements for the NeuroSpicy. I come to you as a grade 3 spectrum with ADHD. Yeah, well, there's different grades, isn't there? Like grade 1 is you can only say your name plus 3 things that you like. So grade 3, I'm mostly functional, but I'm fairly focused on trains. And I don't take any supplements.
Fuck.
No cunt's paying me for coaching, so it's fine. Where do I start?
Fucking hell. Fuck.
Like a Pokemon. With a slightly wider vocabulary. I'm trying to record serious content here.
Fucking hell.
Amateurs. Where do I start? I don't take any supplements whatsoever, and I only eat beige foods because they're inoffensive to me.
Right.
you laugh, but there are people that literally eat like chips and bread and French stick, and that's, well, fucking Badger 10 years ago. Yeah, sausage rolls.
I had a client similar to it the other year who would eat pasta and nothing else, could would eat no vegetables because the texture like was...
Yeah, my eldest daughter will... has a very limited range of she never listens to my podcast, very limited range of foods that she eats, and the texture is...
Yeah, so he literally could not eat vegetables.
She doesn't eat colour, and she doesn't eat...
Yeah.
So, like, chips, then, bread with the crust off, pasta, maybe rice. Like, it's very limited.
Yeah, but then there's ways around that. Like, I, with that client in particular, we could stretch to pasta with, like, a tomato-based sauce.
Oh, okay, so I thought you were going to say R&G Max. That would have been a better answer.
Well, I mean, we'll get to that, I guess. But no, the initial thing then was just like essentially finding an out to that problem. So he would eat pasta almost every day with a tomato-based sauce. So we just implemented roasting vegetables and then blending them into a tomato-based sauce.
Implemented.
Yep.
Coaches use such funny language, don't they?
Tricky.
Implemented.
How would you have preferred I said that then?
Started. We just started cooking vegetables. We implemented cooking vegetables. It's not you. It's not you. It's the whole industry. I mean, at least you're an engineer, so you're allowed to use such language. Anyway, so we've implemented cooking vegetables.
Implemented cooking vegetables.
Blended them. Yep. So they're smooth like a puree.
Sauce.
Yeah. Dormio do that, you know.
They do. Anyway.
What supplements are we going to take? So we don't take anything, and we've got, you know, we don't want to spend, because we could sit here and say, well, you should buy this, and spend 250 quid of their money every month. But Kevin doesn't have that kind of money.
Yeah, so I think
100 quid? Is 100 quid a sensible kind of amount of money to spend?
Well, disconnected from life, Rick, is now. Like, is 100 money is like a, is that a lot of money? How many monies do people do for 100 things?
Listen, your cousin's just charged me 400 quid to put a light bulb up.
I know, I watched you.
And there was already a light there.
I watched you count it like you were confused about how the paper things work.
So there was already a light there. That's the bit I don't understand.
Funny, he had some cash the other day, and you don't like fivers, right?
No.
So you counted the money and you just slid me the fiver.
Did I?
Yeah, you have that.
Well, for the volume they take up, their value's not commensurate.
This is ridiculous.
That needs taken out. That needs taken out. Well, if you add it to the end, that moves the decimal. That's not so good. So it goes from £100. Goes from £100 to £1,005. I thought you were just going to add a five onto the end of.
Knowing you won't have five.
Right. I've got a bowl full of coins in the kitchen.
Do you know how they work?
Yeah,
well, it's not one of your things that you really.
No,
like
I wait until the box. So every day when you if you buy things, you get change. Right, this is how money works. Yeah, so every day, if I have coins, they go in the bowl, and then when the bowl is full, I take them to Morrison's, and you pour it in, and then they give you real money. Real money.
What time of day do you go to Morrison's, just so people know?
Yeah, are you very good at running?
So, the
okay, so, okay, so are we saying that £100 is an unreasonable spend per month on supplements for Kevin?
For Kevin?
Yeah.
I imagine Kevin probably is okay spending £100 a month.
Okay, so Kevin's spending £100 a month.
So, initially, it's not, obviously, again, with supplements, it's usually the case, it's not really one size fits all, so when we talk about this spectrum, but we've got two major camps that I deal with predominantly, which are people with ADHD or people with autism, or usually people sit somewhere in between. And initially it's sort of dissecting what their struggles are and then finding a solution from that. So like, and then obviously the case of, are they medicated for ADHD? Are they not? So it's all pretty much essentially trial and error. However, for in particular with BJJ now, people with ADHD tend to struggle with focus outside of BJJ, but in particular in class. So my favourite one at the minute is uridine.
Uridine's phenomenal.
Uridine's incredible.
And if I don't take uridine, particularly in class, you know, the instructor runs through technique 3 or 4 times, and then they say, right, have you all got it? And he claps, and it just disappears from your head. Like, that's an actual meme on Instagram. But it really happens.
Yeah.
I take uridine, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only caution with uridine is it is a try it for yourself thing, because some people don't get on with it, right?
Yeah, I've had some people who get headaches from uridine, but also then people who, outside of being neurospicy, who have coined it like autism without autism.
Yeah, no, Tariq says that he when he takes uridine, his thing will be, oh, I feel like having autism today. Yep. He took it on a date, and it did not go well.
Is that related to the uridine or just Tariq?
He blamed it on the uridine.
Uridine for focus, in the sense of whether they are medicated or not, generally helps people with ADHD because it's as you say, it's great for focus, which we tend to, ADHD obviously isn't a attention disorder, it's an attention regulation disorder generally. So people don't have enough, it's not they don't have enough attention to implement, it's the fact that they just cannot point it in the right direction. And I feel like, in particular, alongside doing something that's enjoyable and interesting, uridine allows a sort of more pinpointed hyper-focus.
Yeah, there is an argument with uridine as well because of the way it works and its interaction with GABA, dopamine, that potentially taking uridine every time you do a task will, this is a theory I've got, I've not discussed it with Thomas yet, the uridine will help you become addicted to that thing because you get those positive hormones produced and binding the GABA more when you do the thing, when you take the uridine. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure if you were to take uridine for something that you find really boring, you would eventually grow to love it, I think. That's something maybe I might play around with. But yeah, uridine's great.
Works incredibly well with caffeine as well.
See, again, I might have it with a coffee, I guess. I've had quite a few people struggle with it if they've used it with a pre-workout. That can be a bit overwhelming. Okay. So we've got some uridine. Things like neuro magnesium products, so on. Do you find they're universally useful, or is that, again, very person-specific?
I don't think I've had anyone with sort of a bad reaction from neuro. Most people, especially in terms of when we look at diet for most lifestyle clients, people are low in, like, their diets are low in magnesium anyway. So I think magnesium should be a staple for probably absolutely everyone. But I've never had anyone have anything other than good things to say with neuro. And it's been, I've been using neuro for, well, since I started using Strum products, basically.
Yeah, neuro is pretty much a constant. I think we spoke about this before, but are you big on things like EPA?
Yeah, so fish oils are one thing that I led into massively as soon as I sort of found out that I had ADHD, or was formally diagnosed at least, because of the research seemed to point towards it being beneficial for brain health. So, and then obviously we spoke about EPA and DHA ratios before. And since leaning into that more as well, I've found the day, if I don't say it, when I run out of fish oils, for example, I genuinely will notice that I'm struggling to focus as much or pay as much attention to the things that I need to do.
I think specifically for ADHD type implementations, people need to be trying to hit over a gram of EPA for it to be noticeably useful. Because I have spoke to people who said, oh, well, I use a fish oil, I don't really notice much difference with it. You, with a normal over-the-counter, you won't be even close to that. You know, you might be 200-300 milligrams. So there are products out there that are specifically high EPA, or you can dose your product accordingly, as long as it's a decent enough quality that you're not going to be getting negative interaction with anything else. Specifically with real cheap fish oils, there's always that concern about heavy metal contamination. I am told that that's a problem, or stinking. I told that's more of a problem from 20 years ago, but I'm from 20 years ago, so it's in my head. But yeah, okay.
Well, luckily we've only been waiting 2 years for Rick to do a fish oil supplement. And
look, everyone has been asking me, so the option with a fish oil, are we just do a fish oil?
Yeah. Or a specific one?
Yeah, so there is a specific fish oil that I have sampled and prototyped, and it's really, really clever, it's really cool, no one's done anything like it before, and for me to implement it, it's going to cost us the best part of £100,000. And it's going to have to retail at about £45. And then if no one fucking buys it, I've got many tubs of fish oil, like 10,000 tubs of fish oil that I need to use within 3 years. And that wasn't actually a fish oil. That was, it was vegan. It was super high in EPA. Like, again, like everything, it's what I want. So I'm trying to find somewhere in the middle. You know, if I can find a good quality, high EPA, ideally not a fish sourced product, not because I care about the environment, because I don't, but I think the fish stocks argument is actually reasonably valid.
It sells well as well, doesn't it? Like, is it CSN did their magnesium one, wasn't it?
So CSN, they did the krill oil.
The krill oil, yeah.
And then they did, their multivitamin was like a whole food based multivitamin. Oh, marine magnesium. Yeah. That's harvested from seawater.
Yeah. Kelp and
seawater. Okay. I think they just get seawater and evaporate it out. You know what? I need to check. I might be wrong. I'm pretty sure marine magnesium is extracted from seawater. Better than mining, maybe. Loads of seawater in it. Yeah. Just dry it in a bucket, scrape it out. We will do some kind of omega oil product at some point. What I don't want to do is just, because I could go to any number of white label manufacturers and just, do you have a fish oil? Yes, hello, I'd like 1,000 tubs of it. It doesn't add anything to the market. We sell the supplement needs one, that's decent. We sell the krill oil from CSN, that's decent. I don't want to do it unless we can do something
unique. That was a major part of why I lent into using Strum products in the first place, though. Wasn't like the fact of, if I message you now as friends and say I need this, it's not that you're like, oh well, there's a hole there, I can sell this. You always answer, well, this is the best one, buy this one.
Absolutely. You know, I think with probiotics, there's a few probiotics I point people at, fat burners, we tend to point people at the HR Labs one. I'm not a huge fan of fat burners anyway, but if you want that kind of product, that's about as good as it gets. I just don't want to release anything that's generic as fuck. Now there is an argument that we do a generic flaxseed oil. I wanted a flaxseed oil. We do, there's some things we do that aren't particularly unique. Artichoke extract, kiolic garlic, like there is stuff that we do that is fairly generic.
I think as well, those are like high quality single ingredient formulas, which are, and again, another why I led into like nice products as well. Because
Well, the nice stuff's super cool.
Yeah.
Nice stuff's really, really cool. And there's a lot there that works for the neurospices, and there's a lot there for libido, sexual health, that kind of thing. We need to talk about nice in more detail at some point, but there's some stock issues with it at the moment. You know, made in New Zealand. New Zealand's been implementing various regulations that make it very difficult to make stuff over there. So some of the manufacturers now been in the UK. It's all just a little bit up in the air at the moment. What else do we need to cover?
So if we're still talking supplements, again, the other nice product that I implement with pretty much everyone is rhodiola.
Yep.
So I think I was talking to Thomas before about that. The way that I remember the name of it, because it's rhodiola rosea, is it's like the rose-tinted glasses that women used to wear. You put them on and everything just immediately seems happier.
Yeah, women are like that, yeah.
Not sure that was the point.
But oh.
There we go. So no, it's just I like the colloquialisms of like everything we use about like load max, for example, when we talk about the fertility stuff.
Yeah.
The like asshole max is what I call rhodiola because it just enables me to be around assholes without reacting.
Yeah, it certainly makes me less irritable.
Yeah, lowers like my flash threshold.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think that's fair.
Like the sort of like a meltdown lessener.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty good for people, especially who, again, people that are neurospicy tend to struggle with sort of day-to-day things in terms of like we're known for meltdowns.
Yeah, not me.
And not you, no, obviously, no.
Jordan, we've touched on from last episode with Dave Weston, who's talking about microdosing mushrooms. Mm-hmm. Have you experimented with it?
Yeah, so a lot of my friends microdose psilocybin as well. Had mixed reviews in terms of clients who have done it. Obviously, outside of I'm not prescribing anything, but I have quite a bit of clients who have tried microdosing. Some people really got on with it. I know that it's huge in BJJ. A lot of people are microdosing. Some people, as I said, don't get on with it, and I tend to find weird. Like it's more like ADHD people tend to be fine with it. Autistics. It tends to be a big yes or a big no.
Yeah. There was, there was a trend 10, 15 years ago for people to have a little bit of weed before they trained in the gym. And I could never get my head around that. I mean, I know people do it with jiu-jitsu as well.
Mm-hmm. High rollers.
Yeah. Like, no, thank you. That sounds awful.
Yeah.
But like you say, for these people, obviously there's something there. I saw an article the other day about how people in New York are microdosing LSD to make playing with their kids more fun. And while I'm sure that's probably right,
it's probably not the best way.
Well, I think you know,
maybe just have a relationship with the kids.
Yeah, well, playing with your kids is supposed to be miserable. That's the point. That's why it's valuable. Yeah. That's why they need to appreciate it. The kids need to appreciate it.
Back to that disconnect again, aren't we? Rick, society.
Listen, Chris is in the room. Chris has got young kids. He knows exactly what I mean. He loves his kids. He loves playing with his kids. But doesn't enjoy playing with his kids. Yeah. I think that as a father, there comes an age when you can go and do activities with your kids, and that's great, and that's amazingly rewarding, that's incredibly fun. But there's also a point when they're three and they want to do Lego, but they're not really doing Lego, they're just making Smash, and that's not fun.
No.
But you get through it. Because you're a parent, and that's what parenting is about. Taking drugs, that feels like cheating. On.
Although then, it's the same as parents who drink to cope with being with their kids, isn't it?
No, that's socially acceptable, that's fine.
Yeah, because it's not a drug, is it? It's just alcohol.
Just alcohol, yeah, it's fine. It's, someone said the other day, and they're completely right, if alcohol was invented today, it would be illegal immediately.
100%.
But it's not. It's been part of society forever, so it's fine.
It's a coping strategy.
Yeah, same as tobacco, really.
But yeah, so with microdosing, again, ADHD seems to be really successful. Autism is hit and miss. Sometimes it works really well, sometimes it doesn't. I'm not really sure why it doesn't. But it seems to be they either really work with it or really hate the way that it feels. which is strange because microdosing, you shouldn't feel any.
No, well, I think a lot of people miss the boat between microdosing and macrodosing.
Yeah,
that seems to be not uncommon. Borg Danger Freestyle, very strange. As has got a screen up in it always. I'm sorry, Duke. Stay on topic.
it's a tangent button.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I don't know what else we needed to cover in this. I mean, the particular things were...
The caption. So we need a name.
Yeah.
And we're now balls deep. And we still don't have a name.
No, I haven't got a clue. How to be a productive neurospastic.
Sign that off, Jordan.
Why not? Let's go with it.
There we go. Okay, how do we do that? Because that's the key to your coaching, right? You get people who are neurodiverse and you help them be productive and work towards the things they want to work towards.
Yep.
So Kevin's come to you. We've sorted about some supplements. What are the couple of things you're going to implement? What are the things that people who are listening, because I know I've got a lot of people that are neurodiverse that listen, what are the things that you can start to do yourself to get down the path towards being a more productive, useful person?
So I think the first thing that I tend to find with people who are neuro spicy, generally speaking, they've already come to terms with the fact that they've got a diagnosis, or there's a lot of people who maybe aren't yet diagnosed, but I tend to work with people who are diagnosed more so. And then we address the actual problems that they face and what their issues are around those. From them, we look at coping strategies or solutions to, like, again, out-engineer the issues we've got. So the biggest one, like the example, is things like depression, where now it's more prevalent. I don't think we've necessarily got more depression than we did 20, 30 years ago. It's just more widely spoke about. So previously, when you've got that old dogma of like, well, we didn't have depression in my day. Well, you did. You just didn't talk about it. You bottled it up. You drank every night. And then once every 3.5 weeks, you filled your messes in.
The way God intended.
Whereas now we've got, oh, everyone's soft. They're all talking about their feelings, which I think is a big part of neurodivergence, like coming more into the preface in front of society. People are more open to talk about the fact that, okay, well, no, I'm not just weird. I am, the way that my brain works has...
You can be both.
Well, you can, yeah. That's my sort of coaching tagline, the stay weird, stay sexy.
Okay, good.
But yeah, so you can be both, but it's not, a lot of it, I think, is before people were just told to be quiet because you were just being an arsehole or like a bad kid, instead of having ADHD and having that attention sort of regulation issues.
I mean, I have interesting views on this, having been someone that was diagnosed when I was very young and who has, up until 3 or 4 years ago, been very keen to not be a diagnosis, despite the fact that it's blatantly fucking obvious. I do feel that I was about to say over diagnoses, and that's not fair, because if someone is, then they are. You can't over-diagnose, either are, they aren't, right? But this, I see a lot of people now, I saw someone post the other day, super happy that they've been diagnosed. I was like, nothing changes, or it shouldn't. In my opinion, one of the things that this tendency to label everything does, I think, is it makes people go, oh, well, I'm autistic, so I can't. Or I have ADHD, so I can't. As opposed to, I find that hard, so I need to try harder. I know I had a friend growing up who was dyslexic, very heavily dyslexic. And when he got diagnosed, it then became, well, I can't read and write because I'm dyslexic. As opposed to, I'm dyslexic. It's not fair, but I need to fucking work twice as hard as everyone else to do this thing. I don't know what you would say to that. I mean, I know you would probably fall down on a slightly softer line than I do. I'm not saying people shouldn't get diagnosed. I'm not saying that it's not a thing that exists. It's something that I've had to find my own ways to deal with. I just think a lot of the time, particularly in grown adults, they're fighting for a diagnosis. They get the diagnosis, and surely they go home and go, oh, everything's the same. Because I already knew, which is why I fought for a diagnosis. I already knew how I was, which is why I've had to fight for a diagnosis. None of this is news. It doesn't change the way I approach anything. Because by that point, they've probably been telling all their mates that, oh, I'm definitely autistic for 3 years, and doing the things they need to do to improve anyway.
Yeah. I have a pretty similar view on it. However, I think it is prevalent that people have that diagnosis, like you say, and then they're, oh, I can't do that because of this, or I can't because. Whereas I think it's quite a... when you do get a formal diagnosis, it can be sort of, again, debilitating in that sense. Or if people actually put some thought into it and lean into it and realize that it's quite freeing. If you're like, now you understand why the intricacies of why certain things have to be a certain way. So there's like understanding the sort of drawbacks and negatives of ADHD or autism or whatever your diagnosis may be, and realizing that, okay, well, that is maybe a little bit out of my control. However, I can work around that now because I know why that causes this reaction. So I can essentially out engineer or remove those patterns that cause that. But also it's quite freeing in the sense of, once you've got that diagnosis, because you understand it a lot more. So look, people seem to think autism is debilitating because the old view of autistic people were nonverbal and
it's a big spectrum, right?
You know,
there are people for whom autism is incredibly debilitating.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's I get flamed for this, I don't give a fuck. It's a real disability for some people.
100%.
And for other people, it's just that they think about and approach things in a different manner.
Yeah.
I would argue in a more logical manner, one that makes sense to them within their own.
Well, yeah, there's more analytics than there is emotion generally for most people who are autistic, hence why STEM careers tend to be flooded with autistic people or people who exhibit more autistic traits than others.
Yeah, I mean, I can't go into too much detail. My eldest daughter is diagnosed autistic. I'm conscious that she's coming to an age now where she has her own personality, and I'm much less comfortable talking about my older daughter on social media than I am with my youngest daughter, because it's James Elliot actually pointed it out to me, because his daughter is the same. And she's at an age where her friends might listen to things and stuff like that. But she's on the end of that spectrum where it is fairly debilitating.
Yeah.
And that's such a different conversation from someone who really likes trains.
Yeah.
And I know that's a gross simplification, but I'm definitely more on the really likes trains, isn't great at social cues end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Which has presented problems growing up, and it's caused me issues in jobs and various other things. But it's also given me a huge step up in other things where I've been able to super focus on the one thing, because I don't give a fuck about any of the other stuff.
Yeah.
And I think what's difficult at the moment is it's now like, so ADHD was trendy 3-4 years ago. Being autism is now trendy. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to be on social media.
Yeah.
And they're starting to be a little bit of kickback against it.
Self-diagnosing.
Yeah.
Without an actual diagnosis.
Yeah. Why are you autistic? Well, I really like James Bond films.
Yeah. It's like, oh, the people, when they say, my OCD is really bad today. You haven't got OCD. You just like.
Yeah. OCD is an actual debilitating illness.
Like, if you can't leave the house, for example, because you needed to check every light switch 5 times and lock the door 8 times. Again, gross simplification. That's
a very different thing.
I like to fold my stuff a certain way, or I like to, that needs to be there because my OCD, it doesn't need to be there. You just want it to be there unless it is debilitating. And I think that's important to, when I talk about what I do or who I work with, is because I work with specifically people who are relatively who do okay and normal. Like, I'm not working with people who is majorly debilitating. So if we look at autism as it is now, or autistic spectral disorder, which as it's all encapsulating now, previously sort of 5-10 years ago, it would have been Asperger's, Rett's disorder, and a few other things that all come in towards it that were. And then we look at the whole Aspie supremacy before, which were, although people who are autistic or Asperger's generally were bullied to some extent, people with Asperger before were generally seen as, because they thought they were supreme to people who are autistic.
We are.
So Aspie supremacy is there. Whereas now it is, and I work specifically with people who are functioning, high functioning, who live normal lives, who just struggle with certain things a bit more. So I'm really good at being analytical. I'm an engineer by sort of design, in essence, and I have an engineering approach to everything I do because I'm very good at being analytical. Whereas my partner, she's incredibly, her EQ is ridiculous. Her emotional intelligence is ridiculous. She can walk past people and see that they're not okay and feel their feelings and all this stuff. I don't really get it, but she's a nurse. It works incredibly well for her because she is in tune to people.
Sounds awful.
I mean, for me, it confuses me, but for her, it's fantastic. For me, I don't really understand what people are
But it's much nicer being blissfully unaware. Well, it's like you can be having the worst day, yeah, and I wouldn't know, and it wouldn't affect me in the slightest.
No.
Which is wonderful.
It's, yeah. It has its drawbacks, but in that what? Sense...
Not for me.
No.
I mean, I'm having a great day.
Yeah. So I think, yes, the difference is like I specifically work with a certain group of people, so it's like when people... I mention stuff on social media, and then people have something to say about it, because it seems like I'm talking... broadly about everyone who's autistic, everyone must be exactly the same. And it's not. People have various levels of issues or triggers, or we like patterns.
Yeah. So patterns are you coaching people now for fitness goals primarily? That's
yeah. So I work, people that come to me generally have a fitness goal that we want to work towards, and generally maybe have worked with the pattern that I see, work with 2, 3, 4 coaches before who sometimes they may be great coaches, sometimes they may be not. However, it's those people that come to me and succeed with me generally need a little bit of a more analytical approach and an outside of the box perspective and some patterns and habits and designs into their lives that isn't provided under generic fitness coaching, which stops them from being able to succeed in coaching.
So last podcast, we tried to implement quick fire questions at the end. I'm going to formalize this soon. I'm going to have a list of quickfire questions that we ask people. But for the moment, we're just pulling them up off the cuff. Flavor of Neuro. Wasn't quick. Fail.
It wasn't. Pineapple.
Best James Bond.
Pierce.
It's the correct answer. It's the correct answer, as I likes to join in at this last bit. Pierce Brosnan is the correct answer. He is the best James Bond.
Go on.
No, I don't disagree. I just needed to.
All right, I thought
process yeah. the bonds.
Daniel Craig second. Yeah. Like he's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'll go with that.
And then I'd probably go Sean.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Although some of the recent stuff that Sean's had put out hasn't painted him in the best light. Is he dead now?
Connery.
Yeah.
No, he's dead, is he?
I don't think so.
No. Someone Scottish died, didn't they? Sean. I feel like Sean Connery's dead. Let me check.
You feel like he's dead. Quick fire questions.
Yeah, you can fire some questions. I'm gonna look up Sean Connery. Oh, he's dead.
Oh,
RIP. He died 3 years ago. You silly cunts.
Oh, he's dead as fuck.
I forgot about it.
Dead as fuck.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's
no
not funny.
Coming back from that.
He died on the 31st of October, 2020, age 90, in the Bahamas.
Good innings.
I mean, that's
he had. Oh, he had dementia. Yeah. Cause of death, pneumonia. Oh, that's interesting. He got pneumonia the year that no one got pneumonia. In the Bahamas, yeah.
Nobody got flu that year either, did they?
No.
Or a common cold or anything.
Yeah, okay. I was sure, you know what? I was sure I was right then, and I was right. There's a lesson there. Go on. Quick fire question, Azza. Dogs or cats?
Dogs. Obviously.
Standard procedure. Everybody says dogs.
Evelyn
is because dogs is the correct answer. I'm an animal lover, however, the hierarchy, I knew that was coming as well. I knew that was coming.
Well, don't.
I knew it was coming. As soon as it left my mouth, I knew asshole, and I knew he was going to go for it.
I mean, look, I guess if that's what you're equipped to deal with. There we go. Right? Yeah. If you've got the equipment to deal with farm animals more than humans, then have at it. Yeah.
I feel like it's worth mentioning as well, if people haven't been watching the Stromcast before, this is not the first podcast where we've spoke about
penis. Jordan, if you want to talk about how large your penis is on the podcast, now is your chance. Now is your chance. Fire away. I touched it earlier. I also touched it while we were rolling. I wasn't sure if I grabbed it or not.
I don't think you've got big enough hands.
Yeah, I get combat cock.
Which is?
Well, when it goes inside, like a turtle, when it's head in the shell.
Is that protection. Just with other people, or is that on your own as well?
It's like that most of the time, to be honest. Almost all of the time. It's just because I'm ready all of the time.
Like a jelly bean in a turtleneck.
like a coiled spring. Ready at any moment. We need to write down a list of quickfire questions, because we're not... I mean, you can edit it together, so it looks like they've all come out real fast.
So we need some more.
Too hot or too cold?
T- Too cold. 100%.
He's a shorts guy, man. He's a shorts guy.
Yeah, I don't
also,
know.
Also, it's like... easy to get warm. It's fucking hard to get... Like, I think that's a military thing. It's really hard to get cool once you're too hot. It's fucking easy to get warm when it's cold.
You just go in an ice bath. That's your thing.
I do frequent an ice bath, yes.
Do you want to mention the 24-hour swim? That?
Oh, right. Listen, you didn't even reply to this. I donated money as well, so I feel personally scammed, right? Jordan posted for ages that he was doing a 24-hour ice swim. I even messaged him several times, legitimately. I even said to Azza, like, I'm legitimately worried that this could be really dangerous. He's doing an ice swim for 24 hours. I don't see as that's possible for a human. I'm pretty sure that he could die. Like, he needs to be real careful. And Jordan would be like, yeah, it's fine. I've got a massive penis. That'll keep me warm. And then they did their 24-hour swim.
Flotation device.
Yeah. Flotation device, yeah.
Kept me swimming straight as well, like a rudder.
Like a shark if you lie on your back.
But you didn't do a 24-hour swim.
Well, I did.
Just a group of you hired out a pool for 24 hours, yeah. And all of you took turns to do a bit of swimming. That's not a 24-hour swim.
Well, it is, because we swam for 24 hours.
Did you swim for 24 hours?
No.
No, so it's not a 24-hour swim.
I didn't say I'm swimming for 24 hours.
Well, that's what I took it as.
I thought that's good. That's a you problem.
If you said, me and my mates are going to hire out a swimming pool, we're all going to take it in turns to go for a swim, I'd have gone, cool. That sounds like a fairly unpleasant, but not life-threatening situation.
As someone who prides himself on being fairly logical, that is an illogical assumption.
I messaged you worried. I was worried about you. Answers on a postcard. Feel free to drop a comment underneath the reel that Azza makes out of this. Does that sound like a 24-hour swim, or does that sound like fraud committed on behalf of a charity?
24-hour swim sounds like a 24-hour swim. We swam for 24 hours.
You didn't swim for 24 hours.
I didn't say I would.
Someone swam for 24 hours. Someone swam for 24 hours right now. Right now, across the world, there has been someone swimming constantly, probably for about 100 years. There's been someone in the water at some point in the world for the last 100 years. We don't call it a 100-year swimathon because someone has been swimming for 100 years.
They're not raising money for charity, which you should feel great for because you donated.
I don't even remember what charity it was. Probably something about people who are sad.
Something about people who are sad.
Is that right?
Just a generalization because that's what charity is to you.
Is that... Well, no, there's like people who are sad because they've got cancer.
Yeah.
There's people who are sad because they've got cancer. You know, so real sad people. And there's people who are sad because they feel sad. Which one was it?
I mean, it was for people... It was DCFA, Devon and Cornwall Food Action.
Food Action?
Yeah. Again, normal people have to earn money to buy food.
I have to earn money to buy food.
You don't have a real job.
I do have a real job.
This is your job, sitting down, talking shit. 100 monies.
I'm not.
Is 100 monies enough?
Let's be clear. I'm not Rishi Sunak. Right.
Rick, quick fire questions. How much is a pint of milk?
£2?
I don't know. One whole chicken.
I know this. I bought one the other day. Fiver.
A loaf of bread.
£2?
Everything's £2.
It's a loaf of bread.
How much is
it's not
eggs?
Free, is it? I bought 6 eggs yesterday and they were £3, so a fiver.
You know how much petrol is?
Well, of course you fucking will.
Yeah. it's £120 for a tank.
120 monies. Is that a lot for normal people? Peasants?
As much as it takes.
Sir. Oh my God.
I recently said to Rick something that I meant as an insult, and he took it as his favourite thing ever when I said he's basically a Bond villain.
I don't remember this, but sure, I'll take that, yeah.
Which it is. It just...
I don't have a cave. I mean, I didn't even have a security light until this morning.
By your gates?
Yeah. I need a light by the gates when I take the bin out or when I go to check the post.
I feel like we need a larger light as well at the bottom of the garden, like a floodlight, just peering, just to light up that massive pile of shit that has been dropped passive aggressively outside your house.
Yeah, I thought you meant like a bat signal, so I could signal to Chris when I have a problem. What, because you'll reply to a bat signal? Yeah, so this has been Stromcast episode 40. It's not been a highlight, but if Azza edits this down into like 20 minutes, it'll be all right.
It could be decent.
Yeah, it could be decent. Could be decent. In conclusion, Jordan fraudulently stole money from good people like me to give to a charity. No one can swim for 24 hours in ice water. Not even Wim Hof. Ross Edgley could probably do it, though. Although his tongue would fall out. And if you are neurodiverse and want to get fitter and normal coaching has not worked for you, it might be worth giving Jordan a message on Instagram, where he is... What is your Instagram name?
Classic Calevera.
Classic Calevera, in reference to him entering classic class as a bodybuilder because he wasn't big enough to enter bodybuilding.
And if you're wondering why you have a small penis, it's because Jordan got your share.
Yeah. It's strange for someone equipped like that to go into bodybuilding. One of the conversations people regularly have when they hear I'm involved with bodybuilding is... Or doesn't bodybuilding shrink your dick? Or specifically, doesn't steroids shrink your dick? And the answer is always no. But generally, if you think about the kind of people who have self-esteem low enough that they need to take lots of steroids to improve the way they look to get validation, proportionately, a larger amount of those people might be slightly underendowed, which triggers bodybuilders. But it's like, well, steroids don't make your penis small, and it's not unusual for bodybuilders to be rather poorly equipped.
Yeah.
So it's unusual for you to have chosen that as a sport because you don't need, it's all there.
Yeah. Yeah. I do remember, in fact, when I was ordering trunks for my first prep and I ordered from Iron Eagle and they have a little click box. When I asked before, questioning with friends, if they did have an option for extra room because they didn't look terribly roomy.
Oh, I didn't know they did that.
They do, yeah. There's a little tick box and they say, would you need extra pouch room?
Yeah.
Click yes, and thankfully I clicked yes because I would not have fit.
I didn't know that, so there's something I've learned about bodybuilding. I can't imagine many people click that box, to be honest.
No.
End of prep, there's not a lot left. Are you going back to bodybuilding at any point?
It's not a no. At present, my focus is definitely solely BJJ, but it's definitely not a no. I probably will at some point. I say probably will, although it's not. The two training methods are not conducive.
No. I mean, Will's trying to do both, and I don't think it particularly makes sense. You can certainly still maintain a degree of strength and fitness. And Chris Taylor, best electrician in all of Shropshire, possibly the world. He's your cousin. Is he going to be joining us at Jiu-Jitsu soon?
I doubt it.
No.
I have tried.
Yeah, I've tried. Yeah, he's not having it. And as I won't have
it,
every time I speak to him, he's like, I'm my own man, I can make my own decisions.
Yeah. I think with Chris as well, though, like, I'm fairly equipped penis-wise, which is all right. Chris has got gigantic testicles.
Right.
Which not would so useful. They're not so useful in jiu-jitsu.
No, I mean, I got kneed in mine earlier, and there's almost nothing.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of kickback. I think with Chris, there, it would be like grappling with another human in his gi.
So like together you could be like a Power Rangers Megazord if you just find
together. I think that's called docking, and that's a different thing. And on that note, it's been a pleasure. Speak to you all soon.